We are continuing our series, I Am Writing to God's Church, a study of 1 Corinthians. I realized this week as I was preparing, as of this week, I have been in full-time ministry officially for 16 years, which is crazy. And it all started right there. It's awesome to think of how everything has come full circle. As I was just a young youth pastor, 21 years old, still just a pup, and you all expected me to invest in teenagers. That just astounds me. I remember it way back in those days, my very first sermon, and I was so incredibly nervous. And the comment after, the way that I took care of the adrenaline that I was feeling in that time is I would just make laps. I move around a lot today, I understand that, but this was like full sprint, moving back and forth, trying to deal with everything that I was feeling. And I had so many people after that first sermon come up to me and be like, Matt, you wore me out. Like, you are moving. All of that capped off by a two-year-old in his diaper coming up saying, hi, Pastor Matt. It was quite a start. But you know, it's that first sermon, right? That first message of just nervousness. Do I know what I'm doing? Probably not, but the boss is making me do it, so let's just go for it. And since then, I've always been a little timid about something or a message, but I've never actually been full-on nervous where I have this uncontrollable amount of adrenaline pumping through my body that I don't know what to do with until today. This week was such a unique challenge for me. This week I wrote two sermons. I preached next week's sermon already in front of the camera, and then I had to try to get ready for this week's sermon. And the sermon for next week came together so easy. It like wrote itself. And sometimes if you've ever tried to write a message, that is the most beautiful experience. You're like, oh God, you are so good. And then I opened chapter 3 and chapter 4, which is what we're going to be diving into this morning. And I have never experienced writer's block like I did for this morning's message. I would start writing something, and I would delete it. And I'd start writing something, and I would delete it. And this started on Wednesday, proceeded on to, because Thursday was next week's message, I proceeded on Friday, proceeded yesterday, proceeded this morning. And this morning, I can officially say, for the first time in 16 years, church, I have nothing for you this morning. I got nothing. And I'm like, God, there's going to be guests. There's going to be the KLBC staff is going to be here. The church is going to be full. It's going to be online. And you're going to let me go out there with nothing? And I'm literally shaking. And then Tim comes and prays for me. And he says, God, Matt has too much pride. Thanks, Tim. But unbeknownst to him, this was actually what God and I have been talking about all morning. And so before we get into chapter 3, I'm actually going to start in chapter 2. And I made the honest mistake last week of saying that this was one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, because now God's going to make me eat those words. Chapter 2. It's not up on the screen, so you're just going to have to trust me that this is what it says. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. My message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And that is where I am. Don't you cry. That never helps. Can't look over here for a little bit. Okay, I'm coming to this side of the stage. That's where I am. As a preacher, as someone that has done this for a while, especially full time for the last 5 years, this is a really vulnerable spot to be like, there's no notes. I got this, and that's all I got, and I got God, who obviously is all sufficient, but I've never actually been there before. So what we're going to do this morning is I got chapter 3 and chapter 4. It's going to be on the screen. I don't even have sermon notes in the app today. That's how, like, stuck I was. So scripture's going to be on the screen. If you have your Bible, there's Bibles at the tables for you if you want to follow along. All of them, I think, are in the same version I'm reading out of. So let's just dive in and trust that God is going to do what only He can do. Let's pray. It feels like an appropriate spot to pause and hold. So Holy Spirit, we give the rest of the morning to you, the rest of our gathering. God, that you would speak, that we would be in a spot to receive from you. And at the end of the day, Jesus, it's all about you. It's not about the wisdom. It's not about the clever quips and the jokes and the laughs. It's all about you, Jesus. And so we come to you humbly, we come to you ready to receive what you have. God, use me. I'm at your mercy this morning. All right, let's dive in. I gotta stop talking. I gotta let God do what he needs to do. Okay. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I did say it was on the screen. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another, quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? And when Paul says that, aren't you living like people who aren't followers and believers in Jesus Christ? When one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like the world? Paul's like, when he first arrived in Corinth, obviously they didn't know who Jesus was. Obviously they didn't know anything, and they were infant. They were young. They didn't understand the things of God. And so Paul had to preach to them very simply and very plainly. And now, and we don't know how much time has passed. We kind of assume that this is actually Paul's second letter to the Corinthians based on a couple of comments that he's going to make later on in the letter. But he's like, guys, nothing's changed. The interesting thing is that you're spiritual, physically, as time goes, we grow, right? We get bigger, you know, in more ways than one. We start by growing up, and then as we get older, we start to grow down. But we're constantly changing. You don't have to do anything. Time will cause your body to grow and change as it needs to. But spiritually, it actually takes a little bit more intentionality. You actually have to work at growing spiritually. And Paul's saying, you guys haven't. You're still babies in the faith. And the reason I know this is because you're arguing about the things that the world argues about. You're trying to pit Paul and Apollos against each other. And this is this is how our society works when it comes to leadership, right? It's baked into how we select our elected officials. We just had an election not too long ago, and for 90 days, not 90 days, 60 days, 50, whatever, for however many days, all the advertisements on TV was choose this leader, choose this leader. But it wasn't just choose this one has this problem, and this one has this problem. And then we'd put them on stages, and they would debate with one another, and we're pitting our leaders against each other. And then after the election, right, we just stop talking about it, right? The election has been decided, and we're all good with the results.
Wrong.
If your leader didn't get in, what do? You complain. Well, you know, if the guy I voted for had gotten in, things would have been so much better. And you believe that for the next 4 years until the next election. And again, and it's just, this is how the world deals with its leadership. And then what Paul's saying is it's starting to sneak into the church. You're looking at, the whole point of us going through Corinthians was to learn what it means to be the church from Paul's teachings. Because Corinth was full of these unbelievers, and they're making all kinds of mistakes. And Paul's like, I got to teach you what it means to be the church. And so we're going through that the same way, trying to learn. And one of the things that Paul's trying to do is he's trying to remove the things that don't belong. And this morning, the thing that doesn't belong is the approach to leadership. And so Paul continues on. He says, after all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting and who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Other translations say, you are God's temple. Paul's like, you are so fixated on the human leadership, and yet, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? And to bring it into, who's Matt? Why do you follow these people? Why do you put so much emphasis and so much weight on these? We're just fellow workers in the ministry of God, just like you. Yes, I stand up on stage and, well, on the floor in front of you. I stand up in front of you, and I am entrusted with revealing the mysteries of God. I think I have the, nope, I don't have it. Jumping down to chapter 4. Paul picks it up again. He says, so in verse 1, so look at Apollos and me, mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I'm evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord who will examine me himself, who examine me and decide. So Paul, jumping down to chapter 4, says it again. We're just servants, just like each and every one of us. But that's the reminder that we are all called to serve. We are all called to a ministry. We all have a part to play in God's grand plan of redemption of the world. Just like Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And so we need to stop putting the emphasis and start putting all the pressure and start putting all the weight on the pastor, the guy with the microphone, because whether you like it or not, we're all in this together. And the church, this letter to the church, it's like, it feels like when preaching is happening, is the guy with the microphone is set apart from the rest of you. But in reality, like, I should be sitting right there with the KLBC staff listening just as much, because this letter is just as much for me as it is for you. We all play our part. Some of us preach, some of us greet, some of us sing, some of us do kids ministry eventually in the fall. Some of us are in the tech, right? We all have our role to play, but in the end of the day, the question is, are you playing your part? Are you doing your role? Because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. He is our leader. He is our Lord. He is the foundation. He is the one that we need to be following after. Because I hate to break it to you, as much as I would love to think that I'm going to be here forever, God is going to move me on at some point. That's just not anytime soon. Like, Matt's writing his resignation. No, this is how he goes out, hey? Okay, well. No. You're stuck with me for the foreseeable future. But in this grand scheme of the life of the church, pastors come and pastors go, but the one thing that remains the same is the lordship of Jesus. He is unchanging. He will always be here. He'll always be support you. He will always be in your life. It really is all about him. And so Paul continues on in chapter 3. Sorry, this is going to take a while because I got to jump back and forth. Back in chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. Okay. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. And it's easy to look at that verse and say, oh, this is talking about leadership. This is talking about the pastor. He's the one that's building. He's the one that's establishing something. It's his work that's going to be tested. No. If we're all workers, that means we're all building something. We're all doing our part to build up the temple of God. And so the question is what are you building and what is it made of? Because that on the day of the Lord, it's going to be tested. And Paul full sends on the reality of this test when he gets to verse 5 in chapter 4. So don't make any judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. At the end of the day, we don't do this for the adoration of people. We don't do this for the adoration of anything other than God Almighty. All that you will do will be tested by fire. And is your work going to survive the test? Are you going to have something at the end of the day, or is it all going to be burned up? You will still be saved. You are saved by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, and nothing will ever change that. But everything you do in life is building up an eternal reward. And that reward is going to be tested. That work is going to be tested. And so Paul says, I don't concern myself with anyone else's opinion. I don't concern myself with anyone else's thoughts. I am only concerned about one thing only, and that's the approval and the praise of God. He says that. He says, God, on the day that he comes, everyone will receive the praise that is due them. And so the question that I have for you this morning as we're going through that is, whose praise are you seeking? Jesus said, don't fear man. Man can only hurt the body. You should fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in the fires of hell. And who's he talking about? He's talking about God. Whose approval are you seeking? Whose praise are you seeking? Whose testing are you trying to withstand? Whose judgment are you trying to withstand? And Paul's point is that we need to be working for the approval and praise of God and God alone. And as we are building and as we are working, what is this temple? What are the marks of the works that we are doing? Go back again. Chapter 3, it says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy. And you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about anything a particular human leader. Don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or the present or the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And when he says everything, it's that reminder that you are just as part of, you're just as much a part of this work as Paul or Apollos or Peter or Matt or the pastor's council or anybody else. You belong to God. God sent Christ. Christ worked, was at work. He did ministry while he was here, and we are to imitate Christ in his following. And look at that. I'm already out of time. I spent too much time crying. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the leader. Not the pastor, not the person, not any particular person. Paul in chapter 4 says that you could have 10,000 teachers expounding on the mysteries, but it doesn't matter if you don't have the power of God at work in your life. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter how good your arguments are. It doesn't matter how clever the pastor is that you listen to on podcast or YouTube, because you're not probably listening to me anytime soon after this one. None of that matters. All that matters at the end of the day is, how are you working? What are you building? Is it going to stand the test? Is it going to stand God's test? And are you building it on the only foundation that can sustain your life? Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, that anyone who hears my teachings and puts them into practice is like the one who builds his house on the rock. The storms will come, the rain will fall, but the house will remain standing because it is built on a solid foundation. Christ is the solid foundation. Jesus is the fault. His teaching is the solid foundation. And so what are you building your life on? What are you working on? What is the center of all that you do? Does it reflect God's holiness? Does it reflect his character? Does it reflect his teaching? Because it doesn't matter who's leading, it doesn't matter who's got the mic, it doesn't matter who you're listening to. If you're not living in the power of Christ and you are not allowing him to help you overcome the temptations, the sins, and the traps of the world, then you've missed it. And that was where Paul started. It started off, you're infants, and I gave you milk, and nothing's changed. If you're still trying to do things on your own and not relying on God's power and letting that power be manifest in your life, if you're trying... Now I'm just rambling. It really is all about Jesus. It doesn't matter who's at the front. Doesn't matter which pastor you prefer. Doesn't matter whose theology you follow after. It's all about Jesus. It's all about imitating him. It's all about allowing the Holy Spirit and his power to be at work in your life to help you grow and overcome, to build the thing that's going to last. And so the question is whose praise are you seeking? What foundation are you building your life on? And it can't be anything other than Jesus. So with that, let's pray. Jesus, it really is all about you. We can be so distracted when we talk about wisdom. We get so distracted about the things of the world, and that word leadership. I think as we in the West read through this passage, because leadership is such a trigger word in our society, we get caught up on the idea of leadership. And maybe that was my issue, and you had to humble me this morning. I don't know what to do. But it's not about leadership this morning. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about imitating you. It's all about living in your power. It's all about building something that honors and glorifies you above all else. You are the foundation. Your teaching is the solid rock. And so, God, may our lives be reflective of the good and powerful thing that you have accomplished in our lives. God, may the world see that we are set apart. That's what holiness is. Holiness is being set apart for glorious purpose, not being used for common things. And so, God, I pray that we would be holy, that we would replicate holiness. We would be holy in your sight. And the world would see that we are different for no other reason than what you have accomplished in our heart and our mind. You have restored us, you have renewed us, and you have set us on solid rock that is Jesus. Father, may when the storms come and may when the temptation to try to do things some another way come, I pray that we would trust in the rock that we have built our life on, that you have placed us on, and that we would feel that unshakableness even when it feels hard. Jesus, may we live for your praise and your praise alone. Move in our hearts, stir in us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.